The content of these conference calls is the property of Lifestyle of Learning, copyright 2013. They may not be recorded, and the content may not be transcribed or otherwise distributed.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, ladies, for joining with us today. We're really happy to be able to get together with you today on the line, and we have a special discussion for you today. And this is Marilyn Houshell with Lifestyle of Learning, and I know you're aware that I have with me my friend and co-laborer, Barbie Poling, and you may be familiar with Barbie's Love's Actions audio seminars. And our discussion today is based on those and the small book Love's Actions, which accompanies my book, Empowering the Transfer of Moral Values and Faith. Love's Actions, I think, is a unique idea in that it's helping moms to see their true unloving behaviors toward their children, which rob them of peace in the home and cause them to lose positive influence with their children. And also just to help them to connect more to the gospel message of what the Lord wants to do in us through reconciliation. The message of Love's Actions is really, really practical. And it will help bring conviction and give you many specific relational steps to take with your spouse and your children that will heal the heart of your relationships. So we have a discussion for you today about some Love's Actions that are not included in Barbie's seminars. And throughout our discussion, we think that you'll hear things you haven't heard before, even those of you who've gone through the Love's Actions seminars already. We hope that this discussion will bless you, encourage you, and serve to propel you further toward the loving reconciliation and healing that God wants for your family relationships. And before we begin our discussion, Barbie and I thought you might be interested to know a bit of background about how the idea for Love's Actions came into being. We'll also be hearing from a few moms who are on the line with us today who are wanting to share a little bit of their testimony regarding Love's Actions with you today. So we have a full schedule of wonderful discussion and testimony and content for you today, and hope that you're really going to enjoy this. And of course, for the Lachi members, you'll get to hear this again later on. Okay, so Barbie, I'm going to let you take the lead from there. We're going to be doing a little bit of reminiscing.
Well, Marilyn and I were talking about kind of the process that we went through over time before I ended up developing the Love's Actions seminars, because it actually started many years ago. I remember I hadn't known Marilyn for very long, maybe just a couple of years, before I recognized that she was working on a book, writing a book, mm-hmm. Which eventually became, well, part of it became Empowering the Transfer of Moral Values and Faith.
Yes, it was way too big of a book. I had to cut that thing in half. The other half is mostly written. It just isn't published.
mm-hmm. Right, and so I remember that as Marilyn was working on her book, she had a collection of verses that she was calling Love's Actions. And you had been working on that list for quite some time, right, Marilyn?
Well, yeah, I had been combing the scriptures for verses that were very specific to a loving action, that demonstrated a loving action. And I had collected up references, but without typing out the scriptures. And I was doing this by hand, of course. I wasn't.
You weren't using a computer.
No.
Bible. It was all by hand.
Right, it was all by hand. And so I had gone back through trying to assign a phrase to each reference that summarized it for me. And I had only gone through a few books doing that piece of it when you got in on it, and you thought, well, what a great idea. I wanted an appendix at the back of my book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that discussion can be for another time, but my deep motivation was to helps really shine a light on what the gospel really is. How are we supposed to be living our lives for God? And it just, for some reason, seems to escape the church at large what the Christian life is about. And so, Barbie, you took over that assignment for yourself, and you began combing the scriptures and finishing up my task for me, which was a huge task in itself, gathering up all of those scriptures, and then assigning some sort of order to them.
Yes, I remember that as you had that list, the parts of it that I saw, I realized it was much bigger than the parts of it I was seeing at the time. But the parts of it that I saw had verses from several of the New Testament books, and I started to think, well, what about the other books in the New Testament? They must have verses that point to specific loving actions. And so I started, I don't remember what book I started with. It may have been like Thessalonians or something. I thought, surely Thessalonians must talk about love's actions because...
Well, I remember pointing you to the last books because I had started at the beginning. I wanted you to pick up there.
Yeah, and I was going through them and just picking out verses that were about loving actions, mm-hmm. because when you understand that the Christian life is about love, it's about learning how mm-hmm. to love, loving much, and loving well, you can see that the scripture is completely full of verses mm-hmm. about love. And before I understood that about the gospel and about the Christian life, I didn't really see how much the scripture mm-hmm. was about love. Mm-hmm. But once I was searching for it and looking for it, it was just overwhelming how many verses
mm-hmm.
are
mm-hmm.
about love mm-hmm. and loving actions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So then we began having local meetings outside of our own little couples group that we had going for a couple of years, and so we started opening up to more families, and we had secured a church building to meet in for weekly meetings, and we didn't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what in the world to teach. So Barbie had the idea, well, here we've got all of these scriptures already gathered up about love's actions. Why don't we just do one a week?
Right, and we concluded that we could talk about love, you know, one verse about love every week, and we would not run out.
Never run out, right. We would not run out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, we were thinking through kind of a format that we could use for meetings, and the format at the time was to talk about mm-hmm. a verse in the Bible that was a command to love, and then talk about a verse in the Bible that was that showed a motivation, a reason to be loving,
mm-hmm.
a motivation to love, and then to talk about a specific love's actions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
mm-hmm.
the format that we decided for our meetings at that time was the same format that I used to
mm-hmm.
give the Love's Actions seminar messages,
mm-hmm.
and then to go on and talk about one specific love's actions and what it looks like in real relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With your spouse and with your children and between siblings.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time I started to assemble a couple of separate lists of scripture references that fit those categories, that specifically gave a command to love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then another list that specifically gave a motivation, a reason to love in them. And I remember mm-hmm. that as we assembled those lists, everyone in our community was looking over these lists, and that my husband particularly was shocked. He was shocked that there were so many verses that commanded us to love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had already become aware that it was the goal and the purpose of the Christian life to learn how to love, but he was actually shocked by how many verses there are.
Mm-hmm. And Jim was doing the same thing. Actually, he got into the Old Testament. He wanted to know, well, what does the Old Testament say? You know, we already knew that the Bible is all about love, but he couldn't believe it. The whole Old Testament is just evidence after evidence that God's message is love, of love is there. And he concluded that the Bible is all about God's love for us and how he wants us to live our lives, just like Jesus summarized in the Two Commandments, to love God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. The problem with that idea, of course, is that we don't know what love is. And yet when we come into receiving God's love for us, we come to see just how much love or unlove impacts our lives for either good or bad, and how much love or unlove influences every thought, word, and deed in our life. And so we knew that we had landed in an idea that really needed to be expanded upon for a good long period of time. And so I was really thrilled when Barbie decided to pick it up again and do the Love's Action seminars for our readers over the internet, people coming around our ministry outside of our community, and they've been really, really popular. We've been really happy with the response to them. We've only done, 13 of them? Is that right?
Yeah, there's 12, but one of them has so much to say about it that it's divided up into two. So there actually are 13, even though it's 12 Love's Actions that are described.
And each one just discusses a character quality from Scripture. And, of course, there could be hundreds of these sorts of seminars, only we won't be doing that. We're hoping to inspire you to do your own, because that's where your insight from the Lord and the changes at the heart level come to you is when you're connecting with the Lord in your own word study. We're just paving the way for you to do it and see how it's done. It's a powerful way to go about doing a word study that is very, very practical and applicable to your real family needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what we, for the Lolachi members, we've been doing some word studies. I've been doing a word study on video so that you can see how I was going through the process of developing the Love's Actions mm-hmm. messages. And the purpose for showing you these things is so that you can do your own. You can take one of the Love's Actions words and do a word study on your own and come up with a mm-hmm. lot of good understanding for things you need to stop mm-hmm. doing and things you need to start doing to become loving.
So we ended up beginning each of our meetings back then with a statement, love is the object, love is the purpose, and love is the goal of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And we began categorizing the scriptures a little bit more, separating them between works of the, not the scriptures themselves, but the actions of the flesh versus the actions of the spirit. And Barbie began creating documents for those by combining definitions with common parenting practices. Is that what you're doing there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I was saying it a little wrong.
Well, I had taken, you know, there's so many scriptures that tell us what love looks like, but there's also a huge number of scriptures that tell us what
that's
is
right.
not love.
Yes, that's
what
right.
What the flesh looks like, what selfishness and wickedness and the flesh looks like. And so we had been taking some of the words in those kinds of lists as well, the words such as despise and hatred and disdain and anger mm-hmm. and shame and all the kinds of things that are listed out as things that are not actions of love. And I was putting a little bit of a definition to them and then writing out some common parenting practices that were in line with those unloving activities. And then at the same time, I was taking some of the Love's Actions and doing the same, developing descriptions of what it would look like for a parent to be kind, to be gentle, to be peaceful, all the things that we know are connected with loving actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Marilyn was completing her Empowering the Transfer of Moral Values and Faith book, we were going to include some of these lists and some of these descriptions in the appendix, right?
Yes, and I changed my mind about that. It was too much. Mm-hmm. It needed to be a separate little booklet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how we have the two now. Love's Actions book, that's a companion to Empowering the Transfer of Moral Values and Faith. And, of course, if you haven't read Empowering the Transfer, I just want to say that, you know, to really understand what God wants to do in your heart and understand morality and the law of love, read that book. It is very helpful to reveal what it is that God is wanting to do in our lives. And it has Barbie's testimony in there as well of how, well, just a wonderful period of time where she began ministering to her mom, and her mom came to the Lord and was set free from a life of the flesh before she went home to be with the Lord. It's a powerful testimony of God's mercy and grace to reach to somebody who's in advanced stage of Alzheimer and love her through her own daughter. And it's just a real wonderful testimony. So a lot of that is in the book. It's also in the audio testimonies that accompany that. All right, so let's talk about, did you want to get people on the line next, or did you want to discuss scriptures next? How did you want to proceed?
Well, we wanted to get some testimonies from some people who have been listening to the Love's Action seminars, so we had a few volunteers who would be willing to get on the line with us and give us some testimonies. And our friend Catherine said she couldn't be on the line later, so we were wanting to get her on the line before she needs to go. Catherine, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, Catherine. Hi.
Hi. Hi there, Marilyn. Thank you.
Thank you for getting on the line with us.
Yes.
Thank sure. You. Well, do you want me to just go ahead, or
yeah? What kind of? Okay. We would love to hear your testimony about the Love's Actions, the book, or the seminar, or one particular okay. one, and how it's impacted your life.
Yes, when you had posted about putting a testimony, I was thinking, oh my goodness, which one will I pick? Because they've all messed me so much. I've highlighted the death out of them, so. But I think the one I want to focus on, the one that I feel like has made, has shifted my thinking the most and helped me is understanding, the Love's Action of understanding. And I was much more focused on issues with my children, with my husband, with others, before beginning to see what understanding was. And I'm going to just say a couple of the things that really stood out to me about this one and why they did. But one of them was to not be offended when someone doesn't take an interest in my interests. And that was something that had been somewhat a pattern of mine. If my husband or friends, if they weren't really taking an interest in what I had interest in, it was offensive to me. I felt like they didn't love me, or I made huge assumptions about these things. And in studying through the understanding, I began to realize it, all of that was about me. And I was expecting them to have to come alongside me without having any understanding of what they were going through or what things they were interested in or why that wouldn't be important to them. Also, another one that kind of hand in hand was the not jumping to conclusions without seeking to understand. And this was also a big pattern of mine where I made assumptions about how people acted at me. If a friend of mine didn't speak to me at a shower or a party, then I automatically started assuming things, that they were mad at me or that I had said something to offend them, or I just made a lot of assumptions about it. Instead of, and sometimes I would even get mad back, you know, with this imaginary madness that they had, I would get angry at them and just kind of withdraw myself from relationship, even though I had no idea if they were mad at me or not. I just was making that assumption. So I wasn't seeking to understand where they were or what was happening with them. And so basically I began to the Lord through this Love Actions and probably a lot of other things too, but I really feel like with this understanding the Love Actions seminar, because I've gone over it and over it, I feel like it's what has kind of penetrated, or the Lord has used it to penetrate. And so that I was supposed to lay down all my centered thoughts that were on me, and look, have more of an understanding of the others around me, and not make assumptions without asking questions, or at least giving a chance, and definitely not being offended by their actions, because I don't know where they're coming from. My role is to love them, not to be offended. And right. I was going to give a few examples of things that have happened recently, that how they would have looked. I'll tell you how what happened, and I'll tell you what how it would have looked a while ago.
Sounds good. Yeah, go ahead.
I was actually teaching in a church, well, I think it was a week ago, and my oldest daughter, who is in college right now, didn't make it to church that morning. She accidentally slept in. I didn't know that, but I knew she wasn't there, and it, you know, it didn't really bother me. I didn't really think much about it, but she came home that afternoon, and I didn't say a word to her about it. And, but she came up to me not long after she got home and just said, "Mom, I am so sorry that I didn't make it this morning to hear you. I overslept and I'm really sorry about that." Oh, I just hugged her and I said, "Oh, that's fine." I said, "You know, I've overslept too. People oversleep." And I said, "I didn't think anything about it," because I could honestly say I hadn't. Now, a year ago, I would have been completely offended. Maybe, I'd probably say about 2 years ago. 2 years ago? Maybe it was a year and a half. Anyway.
Oh, that's cute. It's kind of hard to track growth. It's just not. There's so much overlapping, isn't there?
There is. But I would have been completely offended at that. I would have seen it as disrespectful, unthoughtful. I would have I would have been very uncivil to her when she came in the house. If she apologized for it, I would have made her pay. Like, I would have treated her without understanding. I would have kind of been like, you know, okay, you know, meaning it wasn't okay, you know. I wouldn't have engaged with her. So all of those things are very different now. And
thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you.
That is so good. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, and I was thinking of another one that is kind of a weird one, but I feel like it should be said. My son is, he just turned 13, and he is our youngest. He is my baby. And I have a really bad habit of baby talking. And when I say baby talking, I mean like, "Oh, come here. Oh, you're so cute." You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how to do an example of it, but it's not talking to a person like I would talk to a friend. It's like talking to a young child. And I do this in it for me. It's an endearment. Like I was feeling like I was doing it to show love. But eventually I began to realize there was a resistance to me when I used that tone of voice or when I used types of talking. And so when I began to kind of investigate that, I felt like the Lord kind of helped me see that what was happening was I was still relating in a way that was like for him. It was almost like he didn't feel accepted for where he was now, that I was only looking at him as the little person and not the 13-year-old that he is now. And so I've had to stop doing that and catch myself in doing that. And not that there's anything just wrong with baby talking necessarily, but it's just in this particular instance, loving him was treating him at the age that he's at and being understanding of the fact that at times that feels very demeaning to be talked to down like that. And so that's something that I would have just probably, you know, a while back had just thought, well, that's silly. He's my kid. I get to talk to him how I want to. Or, well, that's silly that bothers him. I'm his mom. I can talk that way, you know, very much about what I wanted to do rather than considering what would be understanding of him and where he's at in life. And then there was one other thing I was going to say in regards to my husband. This just stuck out to me because I felt like the Lord kind of tapped me, like got my attention that this would not have gone this way a while back. But there was a point where he was asking me something about housework. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. Maybe if the dishes were done in the dishwasher. And I was able to find out, you know, I'm trying to remember exactly the scenario. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. But it was something along the lines that it could have been taken several ways. I could have taken it that he was saying I hadn't done something right or I hadn't gotten things done. And instead, I just asked, I was like, well, what exactly are you trying to figure out? I don't know what you mean by your question. He said, oh, I was just trying to figure out how I could help. And, a while back, if I wouldn't have taken the time to ask, I would have just assumed he was calling me a failure and I would have reacted in anger and probably said something like, well, you don't do such and such either, or, you know, been very unkind and kind of attacked him when in reality he was trying to help, like completely misunderstanding him and not seeking to know what his motive was, where he was going with it. Not seeking to assume the best of him. I usually assumed the worst of everyone. And I feel like with understanding, you assume that either I don't know what's going on with them or I assume the best, that I'm not going to take on an offense about what they said or what they did. So
that's really good, Catherine, to learn how to assume that you don't know. Give the benefit of the doubt. Ask questions. It's really simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really is, but it's amazing how little I did that. I mean, that was not my, that's not what I went to. That was not my go-to. So, and well, I still feel like I'm learning this lesson.
So I'll bet you these changes that you're making in your life toward becoming an understanding person, becoming loving in this way, have really changed your relationships with your kids. I can imagine if that was what you used to do most all the time, that you probably had done some damage with your relationships. And
oh, yeah.
Are you seeing those things turn around now?
I am seeing improvements. I feel like I still have a long way to go to repair those relationships, but definitely have seen. In fact, the other morning I started to get upset. I think the kids were running late and I was telling my sister this the other day. I said, I haven't had that happen in so long. It really frustrated me that I took a step back in a way and really struggled with it. But I reacted in anger and then I had to quickly turn around and apologize that, you know, I was, the Lord was not allowing me to hang on to that anger. And I noticed, like, right after that, everybody just started talking normal. They started telling me more things. They started, it surprised me that they didn't just assume that I was going to be mad for the rest of the ride or that I was not wanting to talk to them. And there was something so redeeming about that because, I realized that even though I had made a mistake, they don't assume now that I'm going to continue in that or be angry at them or punish them. And that
they're coming to trust you more, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
The new you more. That's really good.
Yes, yes, and that very touching to hear you say that in those words. I hadn't quite thought of it like that, but
yes, that's the evidence that they're beginning to trust you more and beginning to believe that you're a different person than you used to be. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank the Lord, and thank you, ladies, for being willing to be so honest and help us see things that we, at least me, I tried so hard to hide from myself. And you all have said some things very honestly to me. And even in all the programs and Lalachi and these seminars, that you're not trying to tiptoe around the subject, that you come right out and say it, because I don't think I would have heard it.
Some people don't like that, you know.
I loved it at first, but I definitely am very grateful now. It takes a while to see that that's beautiful.
I know. It is a beautiful thing, Catherine. It's a beautiful thing when people's hearts are becoming pliable in the Lord's hands. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So be encouraged, Catherine. The Lord is working, and trust does rebuild. It sometimes rebuilds slowly. It just depends. But you just keep obeying your conscience. You're doing really well, and really appreciate you sharing with us today.
Yeah.
Being open the way that you've been and sharing specific love actions and how God is turning things around in your family. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, you're welcome.
We're going to have some more testimonies in a little bit, but we wanted to make sure and get Catherine in before she had to leave. And so before we have some more testimonies, we thought we'd talk with you about some scripture passages. Well, we were going to just bring up a couple of passages from the Love's Actions book that we haven't talked about specifically in the Love's Actions seminars. One of the things that we noticed from Matthew 22 is that Jesus was answering a question somebody had asked: what is the most important commandment? And Jesus had said, the most important commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and most important principle and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. And these two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. And so we know from this passage that all the commandments, all of everything that God wants for us, everything that God has for us, is about love. And so sometimes when people look at the Love's Actions verses, they say, well, the word love is not in this verse. How can you say it's about love when the word love is not in this verse? Well, the reason we can say that all of the Lord's teachings are about love is because that's what he said. He said all of it is summed up in loving the Lord and loving your neighbor. That is the sum of his teachings and everything he wants us to come to understand and come to know. So that means that everything that we're supposed to think and supposed to do as believers is about love. And also, there's a lot of scriptures, too, that are about being holy or about things that the Holy Spirit is showing us or teaching us. And since the word holy actually means purely loving, it means to be purely loving, we know that everything that is about holiness, everything that's coming from the Holy Spirit, it's all about love and becoming purely loving. Did you have anything you wanted to add to those thoughts, Marilyn?
Well, of course, the challenge is we don't know what it means to be purely loving. That's the challenge. And the more that you allow the Lord to work in your heart and the more that you press in the reconciliation process that he has for you, the more you see the depths
of your own sin. And I see this on Facebook all the time in the HEM group or in the Making Heart Connections group or in the Lachi, where moms are, after a few months of devouring our messages and materials, that they come to see more deeply just how corrupt at the core of their being they really are. And the scripture is very clear that we all are. There's no good thing in us. And that idea alone presents a challenge, because we really do believe we're good people. We want good things. But want doesn't translate into being who we actually are and how we treat other people. Want just means, well, we're going to press forward to find some answers to receive from God to make the changes that need to be made in us, because we can't do it on our own. We absolutely need God's power working in our life. We can't just modify our behavior and call it good. It doesn't work, because that ugly old stinking flesh rises up with no notice whatsoever on a regular basis. And of course, God's intention is to put that rotten old stinking flesh to death, so that you're living above it and living an overcoming life, receiving more and more of His love in your life, so that you can pour it out toward others. And this is walking with Christ. Anyway, I could just, you know, go on and on and on on that topic. But I want you to get into the scripture, Barbie, because it is so loaded, the passage that you chose to discuss here about from 1 John 2, verses 3 to 11. Did you want to read this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or would you like to go ahead and read all the way through it? Or I can read it.
Yes, I think you should read. I think you should read it. Mm-hmm. And this is the Amplified version, it looks like. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I put it on the Facebook page, and I see that I have an error in the reference, but I'm sorry about that. All right. And this is how we may discern, and daily by experience, that we are coming to know Him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with Him. If we keep, bear in mind, observe, practice His teachings, His precepts, and His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, I perceive and recognize and understand and am acquainted with Him, but fails to keep and obey His commandments, His teachings, he is a liar, and the truth of the gospel is not in him. But he who keeps and treasures His word, who bears in mind His precepts, and who observes His message in its entirety, truly in him has the love of and for God been perfected, completed, and he has reached maturity. By this we may perceive and know and recognize and be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the message which you have heard, the doctrine of salvation through Christ. Yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true and is realized in Him and in you, because the darkness, the moral blindness, is clearing away, and the true light, the revelation of God in Christ, is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and yet hates his brother, the Christian born-again child of God, his Father, is in darkness even until now. Whoever loves his brother, believer, abides and lives in the light, and in it, or in him, there is no occasion for stumbling or cause of error or sin. But he who hates and detests and despises his brother in Christ is in darkness, and walking and living in the dark. He is straying and does not perceive or know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That passage is loaded, like Marilyn was saying.
It's loaded. It's just loaded. So you were bringing out some points from this passage, Barbie, and you were going to remark on at least one or two of them, as we have time.
Yeah, I was going to try and do a little bit of what I do in the Love's Action Seminar, and that is to take a look at what the verse is saying and apply it to our relationships with our spouse and with our as parents and the relationships between our children. So I was going to go back up to the first two verses, and they say, this is how we may discern that we are coming to know him. This basically, these verses are giving us the evidence of how we know that we know the Lord. This is the evidence of what it looks like in our lives, that we are becoming acquainted with him and that we are coming to know him. And the evidence is that we are observing mm-hmm. and practicing his teachings, his precepts, and his commandments. And so we know from the other passages that we have that these precepts and teachings and commandments are about learning how to love. They are about mm-hmm. loving one another. And so it means that the evidence that we are coming to know him is in how we are treating the people in our lives. It really reminded me, and it's an echo of what it says in 1 John 4. It's like an echo of these two verses. In 1 John 4, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. He who loves is born of God and is coming to know and understand God. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God and does not and never did mm-hmm. know him mm-hmm. because God is love." It's like an echo of these two verses mm-hmm. that he who says that he recognizes and understands and is acquainted with God but fails to keep the commandments, but fails to be loving, because we know that's what the commandments are about, he does not have the truth of the gospel in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how this comes out in our relationships, because so many people tend to believe within their families that the way to come to know God is to do Bible studies and to memorize Bible verses and to attend church and to do some devotional curriculum at home, that is the method for coming to know God. And there isn't anything wrong with those activities in themselves, but they are not the evidence of coming to know God, as this verse shows us, that the evidence of coming to know God is actually in the way we treat the people in our lives.
Aligning ourselves correctly with the way God wants us to act. The
mm-hmm.
process of reconciliation brings us to that place of a correct alignment, and that's where we're walking in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we end up with no occasion for stumbling and error, when we're actually walking in the light. And walking in the light and truth about ourselves as much as walking in the light and truth about who God is and what he wants from us, who Jesus is and what he modeled for us and what he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that we can see those things working out in our relationship, for instance, in our marriage, the evidence of being a godly spouse, a godly woman or a godly man, the evidence is in how we love one another, not in how much they know about the Bible. So the evidence is in preferring one another and selfless service toward one another and a deep level of treasuring mm-hmm. one another as spouses. That would be the evidence of someone who's becoming more and more acquainted and progressively understanding God and knowing God. And in our parenting as well, the evidence that we're coming to know the Lord is how we love our children. And so that means that the lack of love, you know, irritation or anger or shaming or yelling or neglecting or, you know, some of the things that Catherine had mentioned, which was assuming and being offended, those kind of activities are signs that we are not coming to know the Lord progressively and drawing closer to Him. Because the evidence of knowing Him is in the way we actually treat our children as parents. And then between our children as well, the evidence of coming to know the Lord is in the way that they're treating each other, so that, you know, bickering and arguing and unkindness and ignoring each other, these are all symptoms that our children are not coming to know the Lord. So as you're considering how you're going to lead your children to the Lord, many believe that the way their children are going to come to know the Lord is through church attendance and church service and Bible knowledge and Bible memorization or participation in devotional times. That is not how they're going to come to know the Lord, but although there's nothing wrong with those activities, the way they're going to come to know the Lord is in learning how to love each other. I was going to keep going in this passage, verses 5 and 6. It says that he who keeps and treasures his word and observes his message in its entirety, truly in him the love of for God has been perfected and completed. And by this we may perceive and know and recognize and be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. So this is another way in this passage of presenting the evidence of following his commands and knowing him. A person who is following his commands and coming to know him conducts himself with love and has become mature in the ways of love. And then in verses 7 and 8, I was thinking about these two verses. It says, I'm writing you no new commandment. But then in verse 8 it says, I am writing you a new commandment, which is true. Because the darkness and moral blindness is clearing away and the true light, the revelation, is already shining. I was thinking about that, these two verses, and how it's so true that when someone is walking in their flesh in their unloving ways, they actually can't understand the ways of love. If someone's, I experienced this with my own husband when I was first coming to understand much more about becoming loving, and he would, you know, we were encouraging him to become loving as well and to give up the ways of his flesh, and we talked to him about how he could go about doing that, and I talked to him over and over and over at different times and different ways, and I remember one time he had decided to actually obey his conscience and stop doing something unloving that he was doing. And then I repeated what I had told him many times before. And he actually got a little upset with me and he said, why didn't you ever say that before? Why didn't you ever tell me that before? And it was really interesting to me because I had told him so many times, but he actually couldn't hear it. It was because of his moral blindness, like it says in this passage, he actually couldn't hear what I was saying as if I never said it. But as he began to be obedient to his conscience and began to be more loving, the moral blindness started clearing away, and the true light, and he began to have revelation about what I was saying. So I was thinking about that. If you are coming to understand a lot of truths, you're coming to see your own ways and coming to see how to be more loving in your family, and you're trying to communicate that with your spouse or even with other people, don't be surprised if they can't actually seem to understand you. Because it's not the words themselves that help them understand, it's becoming obedient to the ways of love that help them understand. And same within your parenting. as you're beginning to make these changes in your home and becoming more loving, don't be surprised at all if you need to help your children understand over and over and over and over again, because there's so many times when they can't actually hear what you're saying. They can't actually understand it until they begin to come to the place where they can cooperate with what you're doing, where you've won their hearts enough. I hear that expressed, you know, within the hymn discussions and things at times when people say, you know, well, I've let go of my unloving ways, but my kids just don't seem to get it, you know, and they become frustrated with their kids that they're not moving as fast as they think they should. But what's really happening is that your kids don't understand yet, and they just need more and more love from you and more training from you. And that seems to be what is being written in these two verses. He's saying, I know this isn't a new commandment that I'm giving you. You've had this commandment from the beginning, but it is a new commandment to you because your moral blindness is clearing away. And so now they're able to hear these commands in a new way. I was just going over verses 7 and 8 of that same passage. And then verses 9, 10, and 11, that whoever says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness even until now, because whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in it or in him there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walking in the dark. He is straying and does not perceive or know where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. And from those passages we can see that walking in the light means to be walking in love. You were saying some about that earlier, Marilyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there are many other passages in the New Testament that refer to walking in the light. And so that's all about being loving when you're seeing passages about walking in the light. This verse tells us that walking in the light is all about loving. So it's interesting that part of verse 10 there says that the one who loves his brother, in him there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. And so what this verse tells us is that there is a way for you to avoid stumbling and error. And
this is an interesting thought, because people often will assume that when we talk about living above sin or the overcoming life, that means that you become sinless. And so people really take that gigantic leap of error in their thinking that you become sinless, which is not even a possibility, because we are still human beings with sin nature and predisposed towards sin. However, we can live an overcoming life where we are living above it. And God makes it really clear in the scriptures, this being one of many passages that point to the possibility of not easily stumbling into sin, simply if we are walking in love. And of course, that love needs to be the love from the Father coming to us and living in us. It's not about our own love. It's not about human love. It's about God's love operating in us through the Holy Spirit. And when we are living rightly with the Lord, we have much less cause for stumbling into sin, into error, or fleshing out. And because we're walking in the light, we are receiving the light of the truth that the Holy Spirit gives us, and we are acting on that light and truth. And so we are walking in the light. And, of course, this is one scripture, and there are others where it is very clear that to be perfect as Jesus is perfect and holy as he's holy, there are scriptures about where we can be perfect in our lives, and it's only at the heart level where our hearts are fully turned toward God's love in our lives. And
this is the place where God wants to work in us, where He's wanting to change us at the heart level to be perfect. There is no other place in our lives where we can be perfect, but there He says that we can be perfect at the heart level if our heart is right with Him. And the same way with holiness. Holiness is about love, and that is all it's about. It's about love. We can be holy as Jesus is holy when we are loving.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when Catherine was on the line a little bit ago and she indicated how changes, it's hard to remember sometimes when changes actually happen because there's overlapping periods where you're growing and you're letting go of the flesh and you're coming into more holiness in different areas of your life. And sometimes there's just degrees of growth, too, and there's layers of it, too. And so sometimes it's just hard to pinpoint when that all happens. But the fact that you're on a path with the Lord, you are on a path of turning your heart and allowing Him to work there. You're on a holy path. And if you are reconciling your heart and your actions to the Lord's ways, as you're on that path, you are made right with Him. You are reconciling to Him, and He's reconciling your life. And whether you have cause for stumbling or you've got issues that you're not aware of, that you still have not addressed with the Lord, the fact that you're obeying Him in every area that He has shown you to obey Him in puts you on a path of righteousness with Him and makes you right with Him. Simply praying the salvation prayer and saying that you're living your life for God and being a Christian and doing the Christian works isn't what makes us right with the Lord. It simply positions us to receive the work of righteousness that He has for us, to receive the work of holiness that He has for us, and to receive the work of love that He has for us in all of our doings. Barbie, I think what we need to do is take a little break and cut the recording and come back.
So we're going to go ahead and cut the recording, but we'll it may be silent for a little while, but we'll be back shortly in just a little bit. So don't leave. We'll be back.